Fresh Takes. Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here on The Boys, Season 4, Episode 6, Dirty Business. No cold open needed. Let's just get down to it. Cue the music. Welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Kutcher, Pikachu. We don't evolve. We just level up. Brandon Klein, hello.
Hello.
We're here to do The Boys. Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here with Mr. Brandon Klein. The episode is called Dirty Business for
The Boys, Season the boys. 4, Episode 6.
Dirty Business. And yeah, it was definitely dirty.
Yeah, there was some dirty business going on, that's for sure.
Do you know all right, for obviously spoilers, we're getting into the episode. You know what one visual I just can't get out of my head?
Let's hear it.
Web Weaver's web hole.
Yeah.
That is just like the one visual I cannot like get out. And I'm just like imagining like, what if like... that was humans. Like, what if you had to deal with like that on a daily business? Like, you're just,
it,
you know,
it probably wouldn't be so weird then.
It wouldn't, but everything would be so sticky.
Like sticky.
Did just, you not see Web Weaver's apartment?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I also assume that the guy may not have the best web control, given his state and stuff like that. You know, maybe if he was in a better place.
It's one or the other. He either has no web control or he is a master of his web.
Yeah.
He's so I don't think there is a beat in between.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
But yeah, we will get into that. We will get into the controversy of the episode too, because there's a lot of... I didn't really think there would be a lot of controversy after watching it. Obviously, it definitely pushes a lot of things forward, but I also thought that was kind of The Boys. But we'll kind of talk about it a little bit. Towards the end, but we'll get into the episode, we'll break it down, we'll go through kind of our MVP of the episode, a rating. But yeah, let's get into what you're nerding out on, Brandon.
Well, I spent the last few days playing a bunch of board games with my cousins.
All right.
Specifically Arkham Horror. I played that like 3 times for like 12 hours or something like that.
Nice.
It's like a RPG kind of game where you go around collecting stuff and killing monsters, set in like a Lovecraftian universe. It's also pretty difficult. We've only won 1 time out of like the 5 times that we played it.
You work together, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's a cooperative game. You know, trying to like stop the spread of doom and fight the monsters and solve clues.
Nice.
It's pretty fun. Honestly, it's probably one of my favorite games I have right now.
Like House of the Haunting.
I never betrayal at the house.
Yeah.
No.
It is
in the sense that you can like collect items and stuff, but it's more of like you go places, you can buy items, you get spells.
Oh, gotcha.
So you can use like magic and items and guns and all sorts of different things. Hmm. And you go around fighting and
nice. That's not,
so it's more in depth than betrayal. Betrayal's a little much simpler in that sense. Yeah.
Like, we should play that game. It sounds fun.
I mean, I'd be down. Play it one at a time. You have to carve out a solid few hours, especially if it's the first time you play while you're trying just to kind of learn things. But once you get it down, it's a lot easier, obviously. But that's how it is with most games.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, we got the table for it, so.
That's true. I'll put it on the docket someplace.
What other board games did you play?
Played Wingspan. I don't know if you ever heard of that one. It's like one of the... I think if you like look up the top board games, it's like at the top.
Yeah. No, I recall because I just remember you talking about it. I don't know if we want to talk about it on the podcast or not. But I remember you mentioning it.
It's an engine building game.
Nice.
It's a little different.
So how far did you get in the Pokemon MMO?
I've beaten 4 out of the 5 regions.
Okay.
I have Kanto left.
I like when you just... do something, you just like go at it full bore. Like, it's never like you're like web weaver in the web. It's never just one or the other. It's
yeah, it's like, right. I'm all or nothing, baby.
You're like, hey, I don't mess around with things. Fuck 1,000 episodes of One Piece, or hey, I watched all of One Piece and I'm caught up already in a matter of 6 months.
Would be a lot less time if Alex would stop dragging his ass.
Calling out Alex. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, you have time because I'm still at we're still at just past Dressrosa, so I haven't made too much ground in that regard. For me, almost
to the subtitled parts where it's not dubbed anymore.
Oh, I will be excited when we get there. For me, Fallout 4 was today. That was just kind of my, like, I've been interspersely kind of going in and out of Fallout. I'll put it on and I'll just play. It's, I don't know, it's one of those games that's just fun to get into from time to time. But Pokemon MMO is definitely another one that it's in or out. I got to the Elite Four in two of the regions.
So I haven't taken them on yet?
No.
I have.
Well, actually, everything.
Every Elite Four so far.
I haven't got through the victory road of Hoenn yet. I'm still working on that. So I'm kind of just doing one at a time, and I'm just debating whether or not I just want to go full at it or if I want to take my time and do the other regions, because initially I was just gonna like work up there and then just take the Pokemon that I raised and put in, you know, put it in and out depending on what makes sense. So I have like a lot of Pokemon to choose from rather than just a few, because I didn't really like think of the Elite Four when I raised the Pokemon. I just kind of like, these would be fun to rate, you know, play through and then get towards the end and be like, well, shit, all right, I don't have the right Pokemon for this. The Hoenn battle was interesting. I did get through that.
Yeah, so those legendary battles are some of the toughest in all of
Pokemon. Yeah, it was tough. I ended up buying a Rhyperior just for the battle itself, and I didn't even use it when I like fought.
When you find that, yeah,
like it was just there. It soaked up some damage. I'm like, cool. It didn't even like attack. Like, I think I might have got a move off. Yeah, it was just there, and I'm like, okay, I guess I didn't have to buy this Rhyperior for it. But we got through. Other than that, I watched the two Deadpool movies, and hopefully we can do that next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, next week. I'll have to watch those this week. Yes. It's been a long time since I've watched them. Yeah. It should be doable. I could watch them both at the same time.
Two times speed and just...
Yeah, both of them, two times speed. Oh, man, I'll be done within an hour and a half.
All right, should we get into the news?
Let's do it.
It's time for a news quickie. Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get into the news. Some MCU news. A couple of former actors from either Marvel projects or... Yeah, former Marvel projects... wanting to get back into the MCU, Jessica Alba being one of them, talking about how she wants to play Invisible Woman.
Again.
She says she really enjoyed that character.
I think that ship has sailed.
I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe a weird
cameo thing, like another one of their multiversal cameos. I could see it. But
She could be in Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
I mean, there is
Fox.
There is rumors that Chris Evans was going to play the Human Torch again in this movie.
I'd be more excited for that.
No, I would be too, because that. I think it would just be funny because, like, I think you just look at Human Torch and be like, "Are you fucking Captain America?" Like,
yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, you got funny. Yeah, I think that'd be funny.
The jokes would write themselves.
I wouldn't mind her appearance. Personally, that's one of those I'm just like, I wouldn't mind it, but like anything more than that, I don't. Yeah, it would just be a fun cameo. I don't know if it'd be much more of a character, but who knows? Maybe she's developed some acting chops. Finn Jones, you remember who that is?
No,
he was what was his name? Baratheon in Game of Thrones, but he played Iron Fist in
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
He wants Marvel to do a Heroes for Hire TV show, and he's advocating for it.
Well, I mean, they brought back Daredevil, so the window's kind of open for the Netflix.
It is.
Right.
I would be down for it. Finn Jones looks like Iron Fist. Does not play a good Iron Fist.
Yeah, I mean, was that the writing of the show, or was that him? I never watched it, to be honest, because I only heard bad things about it.
Both. The first season wasn't the greatest. Second season was better. Like, it and also kind of, in a way, acted like Heroes for Hire, because Luke Cage was in it. I also don't like...
Defenders show, too?
Yeah.
Did they have a season of Defenders with all of them in it? Yeah, it was just kind of...
Yeah, it was on the same level as Iron Fist season one.
Yeah.
The Hand is not that interesting of a villain.
No.
You can only beat the Hand so many times.
Yeah. Just don't care about the Hand anymore.
More actors wanting in on Disney projects. Tamara Morrison, the actor who plays Boba Fett, really wants back into a Mandalorian episode because he's mad that he says his reasoning is petty because Mandalorian stole an episode from his show. He wants to steal an episode from the Mandalorian.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
I'm not going to watch it anyways. You know what? We'll save the rest. All right, moving on. Let's get into the main topic, Dirty Business, The Boys. Brandon, first, what was your expectation for this episode? And
I don't know. I feel like this whole season, I've had no idea what's going to happen. And yeah. I feel like part of that is because not a ton has really happened. So there's not really like...
Mm-hmm.
trails to follow. It was just kind of like, I feel like we're all just kind of waiting for something to just like blow up.
That's yeah,
the vibe of the season.
It kind of is. It's where episode three or season three felt like it was more intense, and there was like that story direction. Season four does kind of feel like it's just things are happening. Like it does feel like the boys are kind of just going mission to mission.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a show too. But I will say, like, the first two seasons has, like, that path, that direct path. And then the third season has, like, that... It slows down a bit, but it has its direction. And I do think season four, it has its directions, but sometimes it feels like the boys itself, it's struggling. Outside of Butcher, I kind of question, like, the direction of some of the characters. MM, I kind of like.
Yeah. But it does feel like most of them are inconsequential this season so far.
A little bit. I'm going to just kind of reveal or go through and kind of review what happens. So we have like four main story lines. Mm. And I kind of want to talk about each of them separately. And we can save the Huey. Huey's one of them. We'll save the Huey one for last. Because I think that's the most controversial and hot take. We have Kimiko, who's the shortest storyline. Butcher and Samir, important but short. And then the Supes overall.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic of the episode is you have Butcher and Samir. Butcher and Joe are torturing Samir to make a virus. The Supes are organizing. It seems like all the elites... But when I read some of the plot, it's congressmen. So like a mixture of that group to try to get them like on board.
Right. Congressmen.
Yeah. Trying to get them on board for a coup.
Mm-hmm.
All the crazy shit that happens. Mm-hmm. Huey has to go into the party to get information from Tech Knight and finds his way into a sex dungeon. And Kimiko, I kind of just put separately because I feel like it's just her dealing with the ramifications of... Frenchie,
yeah.
And just other things. And that's kind of just the basis of what happened this episode. It's kind of just like, you know, we have our characters. It reminded me of D&D a little bit, where it's like, hey, this session, we're going to go to a party, and it's going to be really fucked up. Like, that's kind of what this episode reminded me of.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, just kind of seeing stuff happen without necessarily, like, it didn't feel like there was as much, I don't know, like a plan or like a direct thread.
Yeah.
As much.
What's your thoughts on, like, when we have more of a case-to-case rather than a serialized story? Because it does feel like it's more case-to-case this season rather than, like, a serialized story of each character.
I mean, Monster of the Week episodes, as I like to call them, they all have their, they have their time and they have their purpose. But I usually lean more towards, like, the lower drops, you know, give me that juicy
big
stuff, you know.
I mean, this episode kind of had that too.
Yeah, it definitely dropped some stuff.
I feel like The Boys is kind of good at that, where they will write an episode where it feels like filler. And for the most part, it is kind of like filler, or like it's Monster of the Week, it's case to case. But like the information we get out of it, or like the little nuggets of dialogue between some characters, it does feel like it does progress the story, even though it does kind of feel like filler. Like last week was definitely one that felt like filler, but definitely moved the story forward.
Yeah.
Okay. We're saving Huey for last. You want to get into Butcher and Samir first or the Supes? I feel like Butcher and Samir makes more sense.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. It's not, there's not a ton.
No. So Butcher and Samir, we kind of had that question, and I know you kind of answered it. His leg got cut off, and I didn't catch that the two episodes that I like the two times that I watched it, I didn't really catch it. But he has him locked up, him and Joe. He cuts his leg off to make it look make him look dead. And he gives Samir a week to make the virus. And Samir's like, no way, months. This takes months. And the whole episode is essentially Joe trying to convince Butcher to do what it takes to get this virus. And he's pressuring Samir. And Samir basically eventually reveals throughout the episode that he can, in fact, do this, and he can make a virus strong enough to kill Homelander, and that was the whole purpose. But in doing so, makes the virus airborne, which then makes it contagious, extremely contagious, where the amount needed to kill Homelander then more than likely makes it so that every soup dies. Like, it's a high chance that it happens.
It's a genocide.
A genocide. And obviously Butcher's arguing with Joe, and Becca's arguing with Butcher. And in this, I think they did this really, really well, where Joe turns around and calls Becca the C word. And I've been calling this for the last like two or three weeks now.
Yeah, I called this. You mentioned it last week. Yeah, I didn't notice a couple of things last week, or like that part at the end, but you definitely did.
And so, Joe was a hallucination this entire time. I'm not surprised. I feel like it wasn't too surprising because I feel like they gave it away last week, especially with the double look and the guys looking at him like, who are you looking at? But I was on the internet, like, I see this here. I saw it a couple times this week, and it seemed like they didn't, like, they just caught on because of that look. And I'm like, Joe hasn't talked to a single person this entire time, and Butcher's been hallucinating Becca this entire time. It didn't seem like it was going to be that big of a reveal.
Yeah.
But the big reveal, though, it seems like the tumor itself has its own conscience.
It does kind of give that vibe a little bit.
Because Joe says, I killed Ezekiel for you. And he woke up and he was... Is Joe the superpowered tumor inside Butcher?
I could see that. I could see that being... Because he does seem to have more like of a presence than his hallucination of Becca.
Yeah.
And like Butcher knew that Becca was a hallucination. I guess he probably knew that because she's dead, but he never really questioned Joe at all. But Joe also goes through when they're talking and is like trying to convince Butcher that it's just that he's him. And that, but that could just be a tactic to, you know, manipulate him if it is like a separate entity kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm still getting Mind Flayer vibes. Like, I still, but I also just feel like this is their version of Venom. And I think I said that last week too, where it does seem like this is going to be their version of like a Venom or a parasite that is like, it is his personality, but it's like the extreme end of his personality, the extreme bad side. But I did really like that Jeffrey Dean Morgan's like his acting is like, I am you. Trust me when I'm telling you want this because I'm you telling you that you want this.
Yeah.
What do you think of what's going on through Butcher? Because the one thing he's always wanted for the longest time was to kill all Supes.
Yep. Specifically Homelander. But yeah, I mean, he never batted an eye at the idea of taking them all out.
And he finally has the ability to kill Homelander, but it comes with consequences.
But he did, like, in the part when he first finds out and Becca's like talking to him before Joe starts yelling at her or whatever, and she's telling him about like, what about Annie and Kimiko? And he's the one that verbally says Ryan.
Yeah.
Like that was the one that came to his mind, that so maybe he's not as on board with it as he was.
That's a good point that you mentioned too. And I recognized that moment and I forgot to say it, but yes, Becca's the one who said Kimiko, Annie, and he said Ryan. So that means that's who he's thinking about. So good catch. I don't think he's gonna go through with it, but I think other Butcher will.
Yeah, like he's gonna be going against himself basically. Like it's gonna get made, like at this point. It is kind of weird that like we went through all of Gen V and it was the whole idea was like they created this virus and it was like ready. And then now we go to season 4 of The Boys and it's like we're kind of starting that whole thing over again.
Yeah, it does seem backwards.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like Gen V is not that important.
Yeah, it almost makes it feel like they're trying to like uncanonize it. Or not uncanonize it, because I don't think that's their intention at all. But like separated enough to where like you can just watch The Boys and not really question like what happened in Gen V.
Yeah, I wish they wouldn't backpedal on the virus and it's just like, hey, no, the virus is ready to go. But I also get like if you watch just The Boys and you're just like, nah, I don't want to watch anything of Gen V, like I understand that, but I also feel like, you know, like, hey, new virus, that's it. That's the information you get. You want more information, you want the story of what you have to watch show.
Gen V, yeah.
And I wish they would have done that a little bit better, where now it, for everybody that said you should watch Gen V, it's kind of just, I feel bad because I'm like, okay, I guess watch Gen V because it's great. I guess you don't have to watch Gen V to understand The Boys.
Yeah, especially if like the characters don't have any really bigger role than they've had so far in The Boys. If they just kind of go back to Gen V, that's Gen V season 2 or whatever.
That reminds me of like MCU phase 2 problems. You know, like they do
crossovers and the big team up, and then everyone just kind of splits out and they have to try to explain, you know, why things are, or shoehorn them in somehow.
Or just don't explain it. Like Thor's possible world ending events and there's no other superhero that's going to help him. Yeah. Or like Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3, you know, the president is now kidnapped. It's like, oh, you think Captain America would be mentioned for this one? You think he'd be...
any of the other superheroes.
And like, I know Gen V like at least brings them in, at least talks about it, but they did backstep on the storyline itself. Or like it comes across like the, I don't know if they backstep because it like it makes sense from a logical standpoint of like where the virus was when Newman got it. Like it could kill a lot of superheroes, but it wouldn't kill Homelander. So they just modified it so they can kill Homelander. And now, but like theme wise, if you watch Gen V, it's the same theme. It's the same storyline. It's repeating itself.
Yeah. So
it does feel like Gen V is like not necessary, and they really shouldn't have done the same storyline.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So any more on Butcher and Samir? Butcher's not redeemable at all, right?
I mean, like redeemable. I don't know, but I think he still has a chance to do the right thing. Like he hasn't gone, hasn't gone that far yet. I don't think. Like he has, but he hasn't. Like, I mean, he hasn't committed a genocide.
You know, that's fair. Like that's fair.
That's as far as you can go, really.
Can we go into conspiracy theory?
Sure.
I only found one, and I was gonna dig deeper, but I didn't. The one I found though was the rumor, the conspiracy is that Homelander dies this season. Homelander dies and Butcher
becomes the main villain.
He becomes Homelander.
I don't know if I would.
I don't think like it's happening.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. I also don't know if I'd like that or not.
It would be interesting. I don't think I would not like it, but I also taking off Homelander, it's your best hero.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Far Cry 3. You're taking off your best villain. You're taking off your interest.
Because in the comic books, if I remember right, like it's at the very end when Butcher kills Homelander.
No, actually.
Is it? Oh, not the, I guess, oh, I guess not the very end. Or, no, he does become like the bad guy, doesn't he? Afterwards, and they kill him. Mm-hmm. Is that how it goes? Yeah.
I don't remember. I just know Homelander does go off the rails, but it's Black Noir who kills him.
That kills Homelander?
Mm-hmm. And he's actually the clone of Homelander.
Yeah, I knew all that. And then Butcher kills Black Noir?
I think. And then
because I can picture the comic book shot of Butcher with the crowbar jamming through the skull of Homelander. And he's definitely dead after that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it could have been Noir and not Homelander.
I don't know. I couldn't read it. It's one of those rare cases of the Boys comic is not better than this show.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what most people say.
But speaking of Black Noir or BN2.
Yes. I'd like to eat my mistake right away from the last week in my reading. I read Kevin, not Kelvin. And definitely not the same person I was thinking of.
Yeah, it is the same actor. I found that. Yeah, out. We found that out too. And obviously,
and it confirmed it this week. Yeah.
So let's get into that, because the next is up is the Supes, and the first thing is Black Noir. He is drinking in Homelander's spot, mask off, feet on the table. Basically, like if Homelander walks in, he's killing him on the spot. Or attempting to kill him, and the Deep tries to bring him back into the fold in like the worst way possible.
That was terrible. Because the whole thing is they weren't invited to the big party. And so Black Noir is just like, wow, I think I'm just gonna quit, because it's like I don't know what I'm doing, this is crazy. The guy had a bunch of drawings of a beaver in his locker, and that was it. Like, I have nothing.
Like, how would he have that? Who fucking knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Even the deep is confused about it. But then he goes on to be like, you know what? Me and Noir, we were the best friends. I know everything about him. Like, we were best buds. Trying to talk him in. And his whole story is just how horny killing made Noir.
Like, it was like all fucked up too. Like, we need more farmlands to go feed people, or more farmlands to, you know, further Vought's interests. So apparently
the people needed the water for like survival or something
whatever. So Black Noir went in there and murdered two dozen
canceled 12 or two dozen of them.
It's like, Holy fucking shit.
He came back and he was chubbed up for a week after that.
Like, and then he was talking about the violence is power, and like they all make fun of me, right? I, you know, it's hard to see, but like I get made fun of too. Mm-hmm. It's like, god damn it, you don't realize how.
And then that little darkness where he's like, yeah, but when you smash somebody's nose into the back of their skull, they don't laugh anymore.
Can we talk about that? Because like,
yeah,
we talked
about the Deep's potential redemption, but which says that I think he's doubling down the other way. Like he's had a few points where he had like a pivot point, a turning point, and he consistently doubles down.
He's in, like he's going down with the ship. I wrote down, I'm like, the Deep has bought in and he's forever lost. Like,
yep.
It was like him and A-Train were on redemption, and like A-Train took the obvious path, and then the Deep was like, yeah, man, I'll suck your dick for this train. Like,
yep. Yeah, he's in too deep.
Also, I love this nod. Black Noir can fly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, I was going to bring that up too. He's, well, not, yeah, not regular Black Noir, probably, but this guy. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can fly. Like, did you know that? What else can he do? You know, how strong is he? Because he doesn't seem very afraid of any of this situation at all. No. Like, you know, for being like an actor, I mean, he's sitting in Homelander's seat and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What if he is as strong as Homelander? What if it is like the return twist? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not a clone, but it's just like, or maybe, you know, there's a different reason why he's as strong as Homelander.
Or has brother from powers. Another mother?
Yeah, you know,
maybe not a quite clone, but given melatonin.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe just given the same serum or something as a baby that they did to make Homelander. Yeah. Homelander. It doesn't necessarily have to be like a clone thing. Mm-hmm.
Is it based off DNA or is it just like the serum you get?
Well, they did say, Eric Kripke said last week, after the stuff with Huey's dad, that your DNA plays a part in your powers. That's why Huey was able to teleport and his dad had like phasing powers, mm-hmm. that were kind of in the same vein.
Okay.
And it also has to do, so like there is like a, and that's why Ryan, the firstborn mm-hmm. superhero, has the same powers as his dad.
Okay. That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, I always assume genetics had a part of like,
and what serum. Kind of powers and stuff you get. Yeah.
Because like anytime you got serum, like you got the same power. Kimiko got the same power. Butcher had the same power. Gen V, Temp V, like it didn't matter.
Not necessarily because Huey got teleportation. Yeah,
yeah,
with the Temp V, so it wasn't guaranteed. I think if anything, that just points to Butcher's personality, that he just wants to hit things. You know, because he just got really strong, right? He didn't have like flying or anything like that.
He had laser eyes.
He did have laser eyes. That's true.
He was like, he was Superboy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically.
Superboy to the Superman.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Deep is far gone. He's going to be, I feel like he's going to fight Black Noir at the end. I feel like that's what this is setting up.
Yeah. Or Black Noir is going to have a bigger role, and they're just really like trying to downplay it for right now, because like they threw it, because like, you know, obviously the comic book ending, and they threw everyone's suspicions out the window when they kill off Noir last season, and then they bring this guy in who's an actor who's just pretending to be Noir and stuff like that. But what if
he's a double agent working for Stan Edgar,
right? Or yeah, maybe he's the other one. I don't know. The fact that he's so like, I don't know, nonchalant about everything makes me feel like that maybe there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Maybe that was his way to get information from the Deep.
Maybe.
So like if we take him at face, this, it does make sense, right? Like he's doesn't care. Maybe he is indestructible. Maybe he is Homelander and he is just quitting. Or he could just be the spy for Edgar or somebody else at Bod or Newman, who has the same abilities as Homelander, but they just keep those. Like the people who has Homelander's abilities, they just keep quiet, and they're bringing him in as a spy to replace Black Noir.
and to go even deeper with it, he is like the opposite of the Black Noir clone from the comics, because the Black Noir clone of Homelander from the comics was like crazy evil, more akin to what the Deep was describing Black Noir as, like murder people, making horny, like real far gone.
I don't even think he's evil. I feel like he's more like animalistic.
I'm talking in the comic books. I'm talking about
yes,
in the comics, because in the comics, they trick Homelander. They basically trick Homelander into thinking that he's like this evil guy, because like they keep showing him all these pictures of himself doing all these terrible things, apparently including eating a baby, which is something that Black Noir did as Homelander. In the comics. So and then for him to say like he doesn't like violence and stuff like that, even though he was like very quick to violence, which is kind of ironic. I don't know. There's a lot of weird. I don't know. I hope that maybe there's something going on and he's not just like a throwaway character.
He's not badly written. There's like actually more to him.
Yeah, there's actually like a reason for like
these. I don't think he's badly written.
No, yeah. I hope that there's a reason for the inconsistencies.
I just enjoy his character. So I do too. Like it does seem like there's something more. But let's move on for the soups. So they go to Tech Knight's party. And then between Homelander, Newman, and Sage, they're all kind of scheming, talking about their plan, with their whole purpose for the night. Firecracker shows up. Sage basically says, "You're a kid. Go get some Sunny D and some Everclear. It's at the bar. Like, let the grown-ups talk." Firecracker obviously doesn't like that. She didn't like being set up, and there's the obvious friction between those two. Sage tells Newman that she can cure cancer, she can solve world hunger, she can do all these things, but fuck humans because of how they treated her, basically revealing kind of
her motivations behind things.
And like one line is, remember what girls do, right? One hand in their pocket and another on their throat. There's, or a knife the on their throat
slits the throat. That's the only way women can get what they want, is what she said. Or what they deserve, not what they want, what they deserve.
And it seems like Sage is going to be looking at Newman and be like, hey, like once we do this, it's us too.
Yeah, it did almost kind of give that. That's the vibe I got at first, was that she was kind of saying like I'm using Homelander kind of thing. But then she convinces Newman to go along with it. And then I wasn't quite so sure if she is just using Homelander.
She could also just be using Newman too.
Yeah, I think that but might have been more of what it was than
I get. So the reference between her and Lex Luthor and her and Oz, and I can never say this name, Ozymandias from
Watchmen.
I get that side. Like, it feels like she's really like saying "fuck humans." Like, I could do so much help for them. I could do so much for them. But I'd rather, because the way I've been treated as a woman and as a superhero, I would rather.
Yeah, I almost feel like, I guess maybe I'm projecting, but I almost felt like it went deeper than that. It's the question is that people don't want to be saved. It's less of, you know, like a personal attack against her, and more of, I could do all these things, but they don't want it. They don't want the cure for cancer because they make billions and billions of dollars off cancer. They don't want world hunger to be solved because then you can't get cheap labor in other countries anymore. You know, like there's all these reasons and stuff behind it. And that's why that was the vibe I got more so. Not necessarily. Okay. Even though her personal anecdote was about her specifically.
Yeah.
But it did kind of seem it was more like fuck the system kind of thing.
Yeah. I definitely took it as more personal, but it also makes sense from that point of view too. It could also just be both as well, where it's like personal, but also like
it's personal and
it just seems like her motivation is very much fuck the humans, we're gonna restart things. Very much like Ozymandias, very much like Lex Luthor, we're just gonna restart the New World Order. And that's the vibe I'm getting from her. All right. So, this is like all in different order. So there's all the Huey stuff. Sage kind of walks in on that.
I mean, we could talk about Webweaver.
We'll just stick with the soups.
Double back. Okay.
So Sage gets shot by MM. We'll talk more of the reasons why. She comes back. Homelander's looking at her like, all right, we're going to make this pitch. What the fuck's wrong with you? And she's not dead.
Right.
She's just brain damage. And that's how she responds. What happened to you? Brain damage.
Laughs about it, yeah.
And she's very much like the drunk kiddish, like, I could really go for, I forget what she said, but I think burrito or something. Like, I could really
burrito, crunch wrap, and a Sibian to sit on.
And I'm just like, I feel you. I feel, at least for the burrito at the time, I was like, yeah.
For
burrito too. And Homelander's, fuck it, I'll do it myself. And the thing that he realized, and I feel like Homelander's realized this, that like, he's not like the leader of men. He's not a leader of corporation. He's not someone who's gonna like, he doesn't like, he's good with the speeches, he's good with the common folk, but when it comes to like actual
people peers, that know what they're talking about, yeah,
you know, like
his only tactic is to intimidate.
Yeah, and they're like, cut the boogeyman shit. What are you gonna do about this and this? Like, what are you gonna do about all these points? And Sage wasn't like, she was shot in the head, basically drunk, and Newman takes over, saying that she's going to handle it, and inspiring the confidence to do a coup.
Yeah,
and I thought it was just really good points, and I thought it was a really cool, like, hey, she's taking the reins. It wasn't planned, but like, that's how she's getting on their good side. And I'm just like, ooh, this is just, I don't know what Newman's doing, but she's constantly like, I don't know, doing what she needs to put herself in the best position possible.
But the question is, why does she want to get there? I guess that's the real, I mean, like, what are her ultimate motivations? Like, what good does it do you? Like, if she was, her goal was to get rid of Homelander, what good does it do her if she first puts him in power of the entire world in order to do it?
Well, that's where one of the big revelations is. She looks at Sage, and Sage is just smiling and nodding, but it also seems like Sage knew what happened.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, that's one of the big takeaways I have from this. And I also have an old list of like takeaways, because I feel like there's a lot of them in this episode. Newman Sage pairing. Is it these, like, is Newman going to be the leader of the new free world?
Yeah.
It seems like that's where she's working her way up to, with Homelander being taken out somehow.
Right, she's gonna be the one left in charge. You know, when they did the fake out of her head exploding, I literally thought it was real. I had to like go back, and then I watched forward, and I was like, oh, it was okay. I like didn't believe it.
I like that scene though. She's just like, oh god, this is so awful. Can I just kill myself?
Yeah, just blow my head up right here.
Yeah, I just got mansplained about
abortion rights. Yeah,
about a woman who, or about to a man who would never talk to a woman without his wife, and that was totally like referencing Mike Pence. He said the exact same. I wouldn't talk to a woman unless my wife was around. It's like, Jesus Christ, man. All right, so Homelander seems like he hated Newman's speech, but also was like, thank you. But like, it seemed like it was more of like, it's fine that it happened, but also I hate that it happened.
Yeah, well, because he wants everyone to rally behind him. He doesn't want them to rally behind her.
And it's like realizing that, like, charge. He's not actually perfect. He's got flaws. Yep.
Just not being able to do this on his own. Mm-hmm. Like, aside from just, like, murdering everybody and rounding everybody up himself.
Do you think Newman and Sage, if they do team up, did they take him out first, or does he crack and just starts trying to kill people? So I feel like that's what we're getting to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely going to be some sort of invincible style situation that happens
referring
to the end of the first season.
Yeah, let's go to
how at the end of the first season of Invincible, like, Omni-Man ends up murdering just tons and tons of people and doing so much damage to the world. Yeah. I could see like that kind of scenario happening with Homelander at some point where he just pops off and just obliterates a ton of people.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's how it ends. Well,
like the end of this season.
Yeah, where it like ends with him just going on a massacre.
And the first person, basically how last season ended, to be honest, with him cutting that guy in half at the end of the rally.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like gradual steps.
Yeah, it just didn't pursue it. But yeah, I mean, openly murdering somebody.
I mean, he's going to murder A-Train and then just go on a killing spree. That's, it's like, it's not even like, you know, A-Train doesn't survive. He's definitely dead.
Yeah.
Maybe they pull the role.
Oh, yeah, we haven't gotten to that point yet. I was going to say, we talk about A-Train's moment, but we haven't gotten there yet.
No, we have not. Let's get through the soups and then we'll keep going from there. Firecracker pleads with Homelander that she doesn't need Sage. Sage is useless. Very much, you know, playing with the idea of like a separation of the soups. She starts undressing herself. Homelander is very much like, I am not actually attracted to you. Like, you're not attractive. I don't know
if it was that or like, I don't know. I guess him and a Stormfront had a thing.
That could be but too.
Yeah, and I guess he does have a kid, so he obviously does have sex.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was just interesting that he has like no like actual interest, but then once she reveals that like, hey, I have milk.
She just sprays him in the face. She opens up her shirt and just sprays him in the face.
His face. Anthony Starr deserves a fucking Emmy. Like his acting and just in that scene where he's just like all serious and then gets hit and he's just like,
you could just see like the reversion. Yeah.
You could just see the excitement on his face. I'm like, holy shit, that's good. Like he went from, he reminds me of Nick Offerman. He's on Parks and Rec when he gets really like giddy. Like that moment giggling. Where he's just
giggle.
Like serious and he's giggling. Like Andy Starr like did that where he's just like, he was serious and he went like a little boy and just got like, and was excited. And yeah, I just enjoyed that acting from him in that moment. Just seeing the light flicker of like excitement.
Yeah.
There was a moment too that we didn't talk about, Starlight. And the big reveal that there's another leak. Basically, you know, everyone who's saying A-Train is going to die, I'm hearing that now more lately too. Like, I feel like we're just banging on that drum. Like, yep, A-Train, he's going to die.
If we expect it too much, does that mean that he's not going to die?
Maybe. Maybe that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Kimiko a little bit and Huey. So let's talk about them together and we'll split off to Kimiko and we'll talk about A-Train too. So this is definitely the controversy of the week. Huey, they found out about Tech Knight's party and they wanted to essentially hear about what's going on. What's the plan? And Huey, MM goes to Webweaver, shoots him up full of drugs for a couple days.
Yeah. I'm a little confused by that scene. I guess the point was that he had so they were offering him some sort of drugs that he wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever it was, wasn't what was actually in there. I don't think he actually wanted Rohypnol shot up in roofies. I think he was expecting something else. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they shot him up was to make sure that he couldn't go to the thing and wouldn't remember, even though I feel like he already was like about to pass out and they probably could have just taken the costume and not shot him up the butt with drugs.
So this is actually the part where of the episode I kind of didn't really care for, where they're explaining this whole sequence, the whole episode, what the plan was with the boys, and they just cut a bunch of fucking lines to the point where like it made sense but didn't make sense what they were doing. Like they didn't like go into depth with their plan. They're just like, we're doing this and this, split, without much time to like really get into the emotions of it. And to me, that I felt like that whole scene was longer and would explain it more. And they also kind of cut the MM at Webweaver thing too, where I'm like, we're missing lots of bits and pieces in dialogue. I don't know if it's necessary, but we're missing it.
Yeah, I would also like to point out that for the first 5 episodes of the season, one of the only things that Starlight has said is, fuck Butcher, get him out of here, we don't need him. Uh-huh. And then immediately in this episode, like the first thing she says, as soon as like things start to go crazy, is we need Butcher.
Yeah, it's.
It seemed like a little bit much of a heel turn.
It does. And that's why I'm like, I just feel like there's more there. And I wish it does seem like the writing itself this whole season has taken a step back. I wouldn't say a huge step back, but a step back. Mm-hmm. At least when it comes to like dealing with all these storylines. And that could be the strike. I guess COVID. We can't really blame COVID. But like, it does seem like this season isn't as whole together. So Huey dresses up as Web Weaver, somehow has the capacity to do this, even though he just had to kill his dad. And he plays as Web Weaver, and he plays Web Weaver. Like, when do they say, hey, you're acting, be the Web Weaver? He gets like the Spider-Man like voice and role. Like, he becomes more Spider-Man. He's making jokes. And this is kind of like why I like the scene, is the idea of Huey being in this fucked up situation, but having to play it as if he's Spider-Man. I did find exhilarating in that sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, he gets dressed up. He goes to the party. He's all awkward. Tech Knight's like, you're here. Hello. Come to the tech cave.
Yeah, he got creepy vibes immediately.
Yeah,
and then he got there. He's like, "Oh, this is my new sidekick," or "You're here to audition to be my new sidekick."
Yeah,
like as soon as that, like, I was like, "Oh, that's why he's there."
It's like, "Hey, we're going up the staircase with the pretty flowers." Oh, it's a secret entrance
room with the book. Yeah, the bookshelf.
And he's like trying to play it off. He's just, you know, outward. Like, it's so.
Like, a lot of books.
Like, Jack Quaid did a good job in that like spot.
Mm.
Oh, and playing it off. And then he gets down. He gets caught in this BDSM situation with Tech Knight, a guy in a gimp suit. And a huge controversy of it. It is going to be controversial. And this is what the boys do. They always do a lot of fucked up, usually sexual situations. Last season was an orgy, this season BDSM, and it gets like uncomfortable, but like also play it off in humor. And I know what Eric Kripke said, didn't, you know, put the best of light on it, but we'll get into the controversy. Let's just talk about the episode itself. So Ashley gets involved. It's funny because, like, when she shows up, Sage is like, you're not supposed to be here. This is, you know, you're acting. He's like, nope, Tech Knight invited me himself. Like, I was invited by the host. Fuck off. And it kind of shows that she's into this. She does the BDSM shit too, which makes sense because she does it at BOD.
We've already been seeing that for a while.
So crushing. It was like, okay, that makes sense. And it just gets fucking weird from there because, you know, he's already had to sit on chocolate cake. It seems like Web Weaver does this all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like a weird, like, it's a rape scene that isn't a rape scene because none of them know that, like, this person isn't wanting to do it. But Huey's put in this, like, really tough situation where, like, he can't just say, no, I'm not into this, because he'll die.
Yeah.
And he had to go through, like, fucking torment in that whole situation, and we get cut off from most of it. Ashley
spared the actual.
Yeah, she. But I will say, just him trying to find the safe word, and him just yelling out random spider things, but trying to play it off that he's just like, you know,
that's just what I like to say. Yeah, I just like to yell things out.
I've just turned on so much that I just say random things. Tarantula! Like, I will say, like, I did find humor in that situation. And then at the end, when the master, the guy who took care of Tech Knight, he's like, the safe word was Zendaya. I did laugh. They're just very on the nose.
Yeah.
Zendaya.
Yeah. His favorite thing. Your favorite thing.
So just a little bit before this, Sage catches MM. as well as Firecracker also gets catches Starlight.
Mm-hmm.
Firecracker
come in because mm-hmm. Huey has been off the radio, and they decide yep. they're going to go in with Halogen.
Firecracker gets taken out. Sage gets shot. MM has what it seems like a heart attack, but then later turned into a panic attack. Kimiko has A-Train save him. And A-Train...
Before we get past this, can we just talk about how great Kimiko is? Like, that whole scene.
Fucking awesome.
When she's... Yeah. When she gets A-Train's attention and then has to try to explain to him what happened when she can't, by just finding books and yeah. showing the titles of the books to convince him to save MM, which he does.
I do really enjoy that scene, especially the second time. Because like the second one comes as like intimidation. I forget what the book title was. Easy to Kill.
Easy to Kill. Yeah.
And he's like, bitch, like, it's like, no. Like, for the sake of.
No. Yeah. Just wait. Yeah. Just keep putting up her hand. Yeah.
I do like, because like the, when him and A-Train and Emma were talking, he's like, for, you know, like, think of like your, think of
nephews
your
nephews and your brother.
Brother, think of the people you love. Like, they're gonna view you as a hero. You're actually doing something right for once. And mm-hmm. I do like that scene because he saves MM and he looks at the boy and the boy looks at him and he's like smiling
at the hospital,
and I'm like,
yeah, as he drops him
and
off
I'm like
the journey.
I'm like, A-Train, you were such a piece of shit, but like the fact is, like, you're turning, like, this is good for you, man. I didn't think I'd be cheering for A-Train at this point. I honestly thought mm-hmm. it was going to be the Deep.
Yeah, I mean, judging by the first season and stuff, especially with like how far he fell after what happened,
yeah.
like it was the perfect opportunity for him to redeem himself and like to reflect on his actions, but he didn't. Whereas A-Train, who kind of was like pretty in it to begin with.
Yeah.
But I mean, his whole thing started because he had a drug problem, you know, that mm-hmm. was what kind of put him so deep into it to begin with. And then all the other stuff that happened with him was an effect of his drug problem with the V.
Yeah, I just enjoy it. I'm just enjoying, and I almost I think it's going to happen. I'm like 75% certain it's going to happen, then he's going to die this season, but I don't want it. I actually like the idea of him. I like the idea of like him turning and actually being a good guy. Like, I think that's more interesting than him getting killed off, because like it seems like that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Kimiko and Starlight end up saving the day right before Tech Knight is going to, very much in Gen V style, drill a new hole and fuck him with it, which is really fucked up. Like, that's a fucked up scenario.
Yeah, that's about as bad as it gets, in my opinion.
Like, you're getting caught, and like, not only you're going to, like, it's really fucked up. It didn't happen.
Thankfully.
Thankfully,
that would be horrific.
I do think that would be like a step too far.
That would have been too far if it actually would have happened. That would have been too far.
Let's talk about the controversy a little bit too. I think we're here. I read a couple articles because they said that this was a step too far, and I watched this twice, and I didn't feel that way. And I know you mentioned before we started, because you had some concerns about this episode. And I think it seems like you felt this way too. We didn't think like the show took it too far.
Yeah. I think like the point that I made was that it was just such a non-real situation.
Yeah.
Like the idea of somebody dressing up as somebody else and pretending to be them. And it just so happens that it's also this situation and they can't tell them that they're not them. Like, it's such like a stretch of a situation that it's like hard to take it seriously.
And the boys have been pushing this envelope for a while. And obviously there is a point where it's too far. And I think they've definitely reached that border. I will say this though. It is a sensitive topic, right?
Oh, absolutely.
This is very much a sensitive topic, and the fact that this is BDSM, but this is not a person who wanted to be in the situation in the first place, but they did put themselves and they did, you know, they are a spy, like, and when you come to death or that, you have to pick and choose. And that's, like, there is a lot of intrigue in this episode, in this scene. But I will say, what Eric Kripke said, where they asked him about it, about, hey, Huey just, he just had to kill his dad. He had to watch his dad murder a bunch of people, and then he had to kill him, and like, he had to essentially, one, his dad died. He went through the idea of putting him back. He brought him back. He watched his dad get murder a bunch of people, and then had to kill him. Fucking horrific, traumatizing, like, horrific event. And he was asked, like, hey, you put Huey through another, like, really horrific moment. And Eric Kripke kind of responded, like, well, that's the dark way to look at it. We view it as hilarious. Obviously, Tech Knight is a... And basically just explained that, like, Tech Knight is a freak, and, like, this is the situation. But I think, like, a lot of people are responding to this interview in a very negative way. And I think, like, at least the way I'm reading it, and I didn't watch it, I just read it. From what I'm reading, the context of it, it doesn't seem like it's handled best, because it's a sensitive topic. And if you just look at, like, if you control what your character does, you are putting your character through the ringer. Like, he essentially got raped, but wasn't raped, if that makes sense. Like, we're dealing with that topic. And so when your answer is, well, that's very dark, we view it as hilarious, it just comes off as very insensitive. That being said, when watching it, I'm like, yes, it very much it got to that line. I don't think it crossed it. I mean,
obviously, you know, more happened or whatever might have happened. But as far as what we actually saw in the show, I mean, it was non-consensual on his part. But all that was happening, like, specifically, like, to him was getting his feet tickled with a feather.
Yes. Yes.
That's all we, like, actually saw in the show.
Yes, and it was consensual from that sense of that he accepted the invite. He, not trying to defend the scenario, like, the scenario itself. I just don't think, like, it didn't reach that point. It was like, it was this, like, to me, it's the same as the orgy. It went, like, it went as far as it could be gross and grotesque, but not like it crossed the line to essentially torture porn, where we have seen horror movies do. Saw being, like, one of the bigger ones in that regard. I just think, like, Eric Kripke's, like, response wasn't the greatest.
That's fair.
I will say this from a writing standpoint, because I was concerned about it too, like, afterwards. But when Huey said, I'm not okay, like, I am not okay, and, like, they highlighted that fact, to me, at least story-wise, I'm like, we're not done with the consequences of this yet. So I can't necessarily judge that, like, hey, this just happened for shits and giggles and it's not going to be consequent free. Like, it does seem like it's going to fuck up Huey. And I do think, like, we're still exploring that story.
Right. I mean, this stuff just, like, happened back to back. This is, like, it's not good, obviously, like, terrible, but it's probably only been a few days in universe since his dad died. So he hasn't even had time to really start to comprehend any of this stuff.
Right, and it could have been longer, too, because it does seem like there has been some time with the Kimiko storyline and Frenchie. It does seem like there has been some time past, too. We don't really know. And they... I want to see the rest of it before judging the storyline any further. Yeah. I just will say that, like, what Eric Kripke said in response, it didn't seem like he got it.
Yeah.
But I also do think this is potentially more controversial to the writers than it, like, the people who are making a controversy. I think they're trying to spin it up rather than, like, at least, like, in the circles that, like, I've seen, it seems like this is more press oriented than people oriented.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I kind of got that vibe a little bit. So, but I'm not on the button with people. I'm not asking, like, individuals what they thought of it.
I am not,
aside from just you guys, like you. Yeah,
like, if you know, I watch this with my wife too. She's pretty on those topics, you know. She's very sensitive in this regard. It's one of those things that we watch together, and it wasn't really something that, like, we talked about, like, oh, did they go too far? Like, it was like, oh, that was a fucked up situation we had to go through. Like, man, that fucking sucks. Like that was the conversation. It wasn't like, wow, that show went into it too much. I'm like, I don't think it was there. It's very much there, but the show's always there. It's been the show, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's the boys.
Yeah.
You don't come to the boys for sensitive takes on things.
So the last little thing too, Tech Knight reveals that they are going to do internment camps.
Yep. Oh, so after they start trying to torture him to get the information, Kimiko starts stabbing him. He's like, oh, hurt me, hurt me. And they're like, how do you torture a masochist? And then his old sidekick, who's been like trying to break free from the wall, then at that point actually does break free from the wall. Mm-hmm. And they all think he's going to go and try to help Tech Knight. But he runs over to his laptop and opens it up and like shows them that they can access all of his bank accounts. Or that's just
how he talks about how he's just an open like piece of shit racist. Like his family's from wealth. He used people as under. He like jokes with A-Train like, hey, my granddaddy, he would have made a run for it, but we would have caught you anyway. And it's like,
yeah, his money literally comes from slave catching.
And like just that, like, hey, 11 generations of wealth, this isn't entertainment money, like this is real money, 11 generations of money. And it's just like, god damn, like, fuck. But I like the end scene though, where they're just like, all right, this money's going to Elizabeth Warren. No,
We're
going 100 billion to Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Then he cracks, and then after he says it, Kimiko sends it anyways. Get fucked.
I'm just like, okay.
And then I love when Alfred, I can't remember what his name is in the show.
Oh yeah.
He sneaks up behind him with a rope and just starts choking up, and he's like, I raised this monster. And I feel like he was like one of the first people to have like an actual reaction, like a proper reaction. And I mean, you're not murdering somebody, but like when he finds out like internment camps, like when he hears that, this guy's evil and he's got to go, basically, he just like fully accepts it.
That was the line for that man, for that character. Like the line was internment camps, sex dungeons, fine. You know, all the fucked up racist shit, fine. Internment camps, that's it. I mean, he has a line. That's So the late stage plan is the coup. Superheroes are taking over. We have two episodes left. Any predictions? So I know we talked about how it's just waiting for things to happen.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you think the virus, I mean, so he's definitely going to have the virus made, right? Like, there's no way that he's just like, no, we're not going to do it. Let Samir go. And that's the end of the virus storyline. Like, that's not how it ends, right?
No, I just also don't think Samir would make him a virus. Like, I think he would rather die.
Yeah, but
I don't think that's,
there's some things that are worse than death.
That's true. I think the virus
is not going to kill him.
The virus will be in his hand.
Yeah. Whether or not it gets released is another question.
It will get in his hands. It will be played out. I think like it does get released, but I think other Butcher releases it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be like the crazy chaotic thing.
I think the virus, this is my, can I do what I think my prediction is going to be? A-Train dies. And as Butcher is, or not Butcher, as Homelander is massacring the masses after his coup attempt either failed or...
Or succeeds.
I think he's going to it's going to succeed in a messy way. Newman might not make it either. But what happens is, as he's just massacring, Butcher is going to have the virus in his hand. And he's going to be so distraught that he's going to like drop it, or like he's going to accidentally release it. So we're gonna get like virus released, Homelander's massacring, and in charge.
Yeah. Where do you go from there?
War.
Yeah, but I mean, if the virus was already released, then like isn't that just like it then?
I don't know.
Like according to how they're putting it, like it's just gonna kill everybody.
I don't know. It might be our season 5 COVID edition.
Yeah, right. Pandemic edition.
All right. What do we have a rating for this episode?
I don't know. Not my favorite episode. I mean, some stuff happened that was interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think Sage is going to heal her brain, right, and be okay after this?
Yeah, it's constantly growing. She has to like stab herself in the brain to stop it. So she'll
assuming
be
assuming here she lobotomizes herself all the time and is fine, as a bullet to the brain probably won't take her out.
That's like the one place you don't shoot her.
Right. Yeah. Apparently.
I feel like anywhere but the brain would be like the spot to shoot her.
Yeah, shoot her in the chest.
My rating for this episode, I feel like it's like a 3.3+.
Yeah, that's pretty average. That's kind of what I was thinking.
It's not the greatest. I think they could have done this. I think they could have handled it a lot more. I do think the scene, the shock value of the scene, I do think it was like good in that respect. And I think like the acting chops that Jack Quaid, and also Jack Quaid, apparently, according to Eric Kripke, really pushed for this scene to happen. Like, he pushed for it and it happened in the comics. So that was.
Let's clarify. This scene. This never happened in the comics. What happened in the comics was there was a time when Huey's character does go undercover as, I don't know if it's specifically Web Weaver or if that's a character that was made up for the show.
Yeah.
Or if it's another character, but there is like a storyline where he goes undercover as a different hero. Mm. And that was the storyline that Jack Quaid really wanted to do.
Gotcha.
There was never the whole BDSM dungeon involved in that.
Gotcha.
And one of the things I read said, in Eric Kripke's, I don't know if this is what he said or what somebody else said, but it was like, he was talking about Jack Quaid, how he wanted it. And he's like, well, careful what you wish for. Cause this is what you get.
Yeah.
So it almost puts a worse light on it in that sense.
A little bit. It does. I know one article is like, it's shock in place of story. And I do agree with that. It does seem like they more did this because it's shocking rather than it was a good story.
So yeah.
I feel like that's sometimes
kind of like a point of the bo- or like a trademark of the boys, though, is just these big shocking like scenes. Like I can think of like six off the top of my head that were just for shock value and don't really have like an important role in the show.
Well, the believability of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's seeing and are hearing about it, but like actually having to deal with the situation where you're in it. I don't know. I'm not for it or against it, but I understand the argument for it. But I will say it does feel like it was definitely for shock. And I feel like there could have been better writing. Like, I don't think this is the last two episodes of The Boys wasn't like the best, most well-written episodes.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It was like a 3. MVP, Huey. I think he has to be, right?
I mean, Huey or A-Train?
A-Train had like one moment.
Yeah. But I mean, MVP, like a pity MVP is what you're saying for Huey? I mean, I guess he did.
He didn't die.
Yeah, he didn't die, but he also got saved. It's not like he did anything to not die himself. Like if it wasn't for Starlight and Kimiko, he would have just been dead.
I don't... Can we just give it to Jack Quaid, though? Because I feel like his acting really, like, if his acting wasn't great and like actually entertaining in a weird sense in this moment, I don't think this would have been as well received.
Well, it wasn't very well received.
What?
I'm just kidding.
I've been seeing like, oh wow, this is one of the best episodes yet, to this is not that great of an episode. It's, I don't know.
Okay. I wouldn't want to meet the people and say this is the best episode yet. I'm just kidding.
Not maybe not best episode, but like I've seen good like reviews, like, oh hey, we're back on track compared to last week or the week before. So all right, yeah, I give it to Jack Quaid / Huey. A-Train still for the year.
I will say that it is interesting to see like a character like like a person in that position actually like seeming like they're dealing with the fallout of being in that position, like the stress and the like the actual, you know, like responsibility and stuff that he has. Like he truly understands it, and you can tell that, you know, it's eating away at him trying to figure out how the hell he's supposed to fix all of these world's problems.
Yeah, it's heavy burden.
Yeah.
And it's,
you don't see that very often in characters that are in that position, to where like they're always just like rugged, you know, tough, whatever, like take everything on the chin. So to see somebody that's struggling is kind of interesting.
I don't think it's a new storyline, but I also, for The Boys, it's nice that they're touching up on it.
Yeah, like, I mean, Butcher, it's like a news thing, but you don't see it very often.
I just like the fact that it's OCD, and like you, every episode you can pinpoint to like him itching on his arms, and you can see him having like negatively responding to it in different like not direct ways. I don't know. It is cool to see in that regards. So I think the boys just overall this season, I still think the writing is like for the most part on par. I just think as far as like an episode to episode or like characters, and this is another, I've seen this on another YouTube video where they're just speculating like, are these actors getting so big and so busy that they just cannot put them all in the same room? So they're all just spread out and like story wise, it's just, because like right now, Jack Quaid is a pretty big star. Huey's dealing a lot of his own things, his own story. Starlight's doing her own storyline. Billy Butcher is doing his own storyline. And I'm like, you know, from that aspect, if they just, this is the only way they could do season four in a reasonable amount of time, like that makes sense why this season has been so put together as it should be. And that's
a fair point.
So, and that's kind of what it seems like. But all right, Brandon, we are over our mark by 30 minutes as per usual.
Yep.
So anything else to say?
No, I don't think so. I think this season will be like made or broke by the last two episodes. Like, I think if they really nail these last two episodes, it'll kind of cover everything, and this will just be like considered one of the another great season. But I think if they kind of fumble the ending of the season two, then it's going to be like the one that people talk about as like kind of the more downturn.
Yeah,
I think it can still all be like completely, like if the last two episodes are crazy and like, you know, really good, I don't think anybody will be talking about like the stuff that they've been saying about the rest of the season after that.
I think you could say that about just season five too. Because even if let's say the next two episodes aren't that good, and from it sounds like the early reviews, it's kind of underwhelming in a sense. Maybe not. I haven't seen the details or anything. Just in the fact that they did say it's underwhelming and sad in the sense of like what they do with the characters, and we've already seen that. I think like if season five ends with a banger, you forgive season four. It sets up season five. But it does feel like that's kind of the case. It's not like, hey man, this is like the best season yet. It's like, oof, they kind of just like got through the season.
Yeah.
Hopefully it ends well.
Yeah.
So I agree. All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.